This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
So let's get started on it, man. I mean, I think a lot of people would want to know, you continue to amaze people, you amaze your fans, you amaze musicians as well, other musicians as well, on how over time you still are able to maintain the relevancy that you have in this ever-changing music climate. How do you do that?
I don't think there's an actual formula, but I think if I were to credit certain aspects, it would probably be just the fact that I got into the industry not only because, well, I was not driven by fame or like anything superficial. So I literally was a fan first. I still am a fan first and a musician second. And I think by operating through that lens, it allows me to continue just studying the game as much as I possibly can and soaking up all the energy from all the people that are even coming in, that came in before me and the ones that are coming in after. So I'll always be savvy and privy to everything that is going on around me. So it allows me to ingest into my own craft and either try and be ahead of the curve or keep up with the times.
Oh, man, such beautiful, beautiful stuff. And now let's talk about Sete, which is currently taking South Africa by storm. It is currently on 4 million plus views on YouTube, number one across all platforms. This is a collab that no one saw coming. How did this collaboration come about?
Yeah, so I was working on a record with a Nigerian artist by the name of Ruga when he was in the country. And I was struggling. I didn't have anything ready. I mean, I was called on the day that he's in the studio and he wants to link up. So I didn't have a record on hand. So I went and hit up different producers. And then I stumbled across this one producer from Nigeria. And I bumped into that Sete beat. Took it to the studio, and I mean, I'm thinking, okay, cool. So he's a Nigerian artist, so he'll definitely, you know, just excel on this particular song. And then I got there, played it for him, and he wasn't vibing with it. So I was like, okay, cool, no problem. But we ended up working on another song. I still felt like it was a strong enough beat for me to still go and see what I can possibly do with it. So that is now when I went and recorded my part. Then I was looking for someone to just do the hook. I sat with that beat in my part for about a month until someone said, hey, maybe let's try Young Stunner, for instance. And then I reached out to Young Stunner. Stunner was ready. I mean, he said, sent the chorus back with a verse. I was looking for a chorus, but he sent it with a verse. So, and I mean, Stunner is red hot right now, so I wasn't complaining. And then, you know, with everything that he had done, I just felt like, okay, cool, no problem, lead us to the light. And then he came into the studio, we added a few things at the beginning, we did the bridge, and then I felt like, okay, maybe what else? Let's go crazy, let's add someone else. I was thinking Java, I was thinking maybe Dali Wonga or any vocalist out there. And then I was like, nah, maybe let me keep it hip-hop, let me call Blackie, and then Blackie also jumped on. And here we are, man, with a classic.
Yeah, with one of the biggest songs out, definitely. Now, I hear you mention that, okay, there's you got the beat from a Nigerian artist as well. Maybe that's why there's a whole lot of confusion on what genre Sete falls under. Would you classify it as hip-hop? Would you classify it as Afrobeatsy kind of music? What do you classify it as?
So I'm a hip-hop artist and a versatile one at that. You know, I've made all kinds of songs. So, I mean, if you look down my catalog, I mean, Tega's catalog, for instance, we had a song called Shobo Wami, where we were one of the first people to just like, just do a non-rap song and just do our thing and just vibe out. And, you know, that came from a classic album, a hip hop album that is. Dark Hole Blue. And we never swayed from, you know, just being a class act hip hop outfit. So even with this one, for me, I'd still, actually, I don't really, you know what? It's 2022, bro.
Yeah.
I think gone are the days where people are like genre specific. If I ask you right now, what specific genre do you listen to? You're going to tell me you listen to everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
the genius of, well, let me say the vision that I had when I was creating this the song, I wanted a song that it will appeal to everyone. So if we need to rap less and just focus more on the vibes, then it fitted the mood. So that's what the palette that I was gunning for. So we just ended up actually just using a beat that has an Afrobeat element to it. And I mean, I can't complain as well with that, because within this climate where like the Yanos and everything else, you know, is crushing it right now, coming out with a song like that, it just felt like a breath of fresh air in the midst of everything. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why the song has been favored so much.
Definitely. Now, let's talk about your verse. It sounds a bit personal, if I'm to say so. But obviously, you're an artist and you can reach into a deeper place, and sometimes you can just make up scenarios in your head and have lines coming out like that. But this one, when someone hears it, it's like it's made for someone. Was there someone that you had in mind when you wrote your verse for said?
Bro, I think the last part that you said about artists being able to just delve into like a certain character and just perform on that level and make it look believable, that's genuinely how I put that whole verse together. I've done it so many times. I mean, I remember, again, throwing all the way back to like a song by Tear Gas. We made a song called Chance, where I was talking, my verse was a character who was on a wheelchair, you know, got into a car accident and this, that, and that. People actually even believed it, bro. Like, that was my true story until they saw me walking. They're like, wait, so you're the same guy?
Yeah.
So I think it's just the genius in being able to draw that emotion and selling the vision to the people. And if people feel like this verse kind of feels personal, cool, I'll take that too. I mean, I do have someone in my life, obviously, and she loves the song great. She doesn't really like much of my music, but for some reason she likes this particular song, which is quite flattering. So maybe she actually just took it and put it in her place. She put her face onto that verse, which is, I'm not complaining as well. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it was just vibes. I do have another song on the album where I'm sort of kind of talking to her. But like this one, this was just general.
No, definitely. I mean, like I'm saying, that's just a gift that you have, a talent that you have to actually personalize something and make it seem like it's you, Kanti, you're just telling a different story. Now, you also have an album out, SR3. It's short for Scandal Republic 3, right?
Yes, sir.
And why did we choose to go for this name?
So my debut solo album was called Scandal Republic. It came out 2014 with Kara Kara, Scandal Love, and all those songs. And then I felt like, because of just the impact of that album alone and the series and the signature sound that one, you know, was able to galvanize through that entire era, I felt like it's something that I always just wanted to make sure that I continue championing throughout my career. So I was able to release Scandal Republic 2 in 2017. But, you know, the dynamics were very different at that time. I was also just going through my own, you know, dark place and trying to find myself again because a lot had happened. So we were able to have there was a song that came out from that album actually called Call Me featuring Runtown from Nigeria, which was also actually an Afrobeats type of song,
right? Yeah.
So throw forward 2022, I put out this one, And I wanted to make sure that this time around, you know, it's as energy-wise and sonically that it sort of kind of resembles, you know, the level that was showcased on in my debut album, because I made that from, I was at peace, I was in a beautiful place, and I just wanted to showcase my craft without any sort of pressure. That's how I was able to put out an album like that. So I felt like I was in that place again in my life,
yeah,
where I can just create freely without any distractions and too many people in my ear. And the title for this one was so fitting, because I know for a fact that it is a continuation from, you know, those two that I did before. And if I'm to take anything from what the people are actually even saying, like the early reviews are kind of confirming exactly, you know, those sentiments that I had with the vision when I was putting it together. So I'm quite happy, and I do believe that it's going to age just as well as my first album.
So, you know, this is probably going to be like the trickiest question ever, but do you have like a favorite song from this album? I know, obviously, from the back of my head, since we started this conversation, I'm thinking it's the one that you say you wrote for your significant other. Maybe that's
no,
the
sir,
one, but maybe you can shed some light
there.
What's your favorite song from this album? I know it's all your body of work, but which one would you say, if I had to say this is my favorite, this one has to be it?
So my all-time favorite particular song, like from all my tracks, I'll say a song from my first album, Son of a Gun, right?
Yes.
That's my all-time favorite KO song. But coming back to this one, this album specifically, I'm not like definitively going to say I have one just yet.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what I did, like, I worked on the album so, like, before such a long time, and I just removed myself from listening to it, you know, like, too crazy up until, you know, the day of release. So that's only when I actually started listening to the album, like, sonically, you know, from one track to the next. Listening to it like a consumer, right? I can enjoy it just from a fan's perspective. And it's still early-ish even now. I mean, I know it's like Thursday already, like, but I'm still trying to pick one. But if I have top two that I can select right now. It's a song called Fezeka featuring Fabi Cooper, Zuma, and Sakodi.
Yeah.
I think it's very dear to my heart, like in terms of just like the emotion and what we're trying to convey with that particular, and just the record, the collaboration itself is just, people didn't see that coming. Like those names put together, when you look at it, it doesn't make sense. It just sounds like chaos, or like it sounds like an Amapiano piano lineup. But
yeah,
then you go
does.
Through it and you just hear, you know what I mean? But you when you go into it and you hear something that powerful and so beautiful, that to me is one of my favorites. And another one, which is very personal to me, is a song called The Light, that touches on literally my own personal issues. It's almost like it's like a therapy session within myself. And I'm also talking to God, just seeking light and guidance and acknowledging my own weaknesses. Also, like, one of the main things that people have drawn from that particular song is the fact that I mentioned, you know, my brother Ndugza, who is was part of Chiegas, you know, and we didn't end on a good note. So, I mean, I felt like I needed to touch on that particular song. So, yeah, it's just me reconciling with, like, some of my previous life and what I am projecting for myself moving forward.
Yeah. So I gave the album a listen. It has, like, you know, your elements of Amapiano here, your elements of Kwaito there. Was this intentional? Because I know you did mention now that you don't like to put yourself in a box. You're a versatile hip-hop artist, yes, but you'd like to experiment. Was this intentional to say, let me just see if I can dive into that?
Yeah, I had to touch on... See, remember what I said in the beginning, the first question, the whole thing about evolving and staying being up to date, you know, for all these years. I am aware of everything that is playing out, you know, within the culture. So the fact that I'm a piano obviously is one of the strongest movements out there. I can't just, you know, be oblivious and just, you know, pay that no mind at all.
Yeah.
Which is because that's why I ended up having, you know, Msaki, who is a product of, you know, that genre and obviously house music, a little bit of dance music. And she came on my album and she like just did something completely different, you know, something out of her comfort zone. We made an amazing R&B song, a track called Owami. And obviously Zuma and Pabi Cooper are known for the whole I'm a piano thing, but yeah, they came out there and they obviously also just fitted really well with the rest of us and the rest of the aesthetic of the album. So, but as far as beat selection and everything like that, I had to here and there sprinkle a little bit of the piano thing, sprinkle a little bit of just like vintage hip hop vibes, sprinkle a little bit of what's going on right now with new age hip hop, R&B, soul, and all those kind of things, just to make it this one beautiful mashup of different elements that when one listens to it, again, going back to the fact that we are living in a non-genre specific era.
Yeah.
So anyone who just appreciates good music will have something they can pull from this album.
Ah, man, it's beautiful. I just love that. And it goes to show just how of a talented artist you are. And, you know, for the past couple of years, I mean, like 2020 leading up to now, since I'm a Piano has been picking up the way it has been picking up and now dominating, there has been a couple of chats on hip hop saying that, no, hip hop is dying. What do you have to say on that?
Brother, that is not even a question, because think about it this way. For the longest of time, since the surge of Amapiano, we were not really competing. Like if I'm just talking about songs that made it difficult for Amapiano, we were not digging deep enough to create those kind of songs. So hence the conversation about hip hop dying in this country was getting more and more amplified the more Amapiano grew. So now in 2022, we are in a very interesting position where now there is again a glimpse of light, towards the hip hop fraternity. But one thing I can tell you is there's still a lot of guys that are putting out music and that are going to continue putting out music. But now we are at a time where it'll only take this modest individuals to make impact, right? So yeah, if you make the smartest move and make the most calculated and most genius body of work or even a song, that's what you're going to see cut through. But as far as a resurgence of the entire genre, like in 2014, 2015, I think those days are behind us.
Yeah.
You know, now it's just all about your greatness is what's going to make you win as an individual. If you're going to wait for hip hop to be hot again as a whole, hey, we're gonna have to wait forever, because that sounds like a fairy tale.
Yeah, at this point, it really does. So now,
totally.
The Seta was like one of the most amazing collabs we've had this year, and I think you can attest to that as well. Seeing how the work that you, Blackie, and Young Stunner did turned out so beautifully, would you say there's room for another collab, or maybe it's in the books that we don't know of? Maybe you can just let me know exclusively here now.
It's too soon to speak, you know, because I mean, first of all, those two gents, I just want this to be known, a total pleasure working with. You know, like the fact that they didn't even owe me to be on my record, and them having to step out of their comfort zone to do this, because Young Stunner is an I'm a piano wizard, red hot. So he didn't have to come off his throne to come and mess with a KO, you know, an OG, for instance. Blackie, you know, he's also red hot. You know, he's the new hip hop sensation. I think one thing that people can just take away from this, whoever's watching, is there are artists that are cognizant of their predecessors, and some choose to acknowledge and actually just pay homage and give them the recognition that they believe they deserve, whether they are going through a great time or not in their careers. So I was fortunate enough to be a guy who still, you know, pulls some type of weight and commands some type of respect from either my peers or even some of the younger guys. So them reaching out and being comfortable enough to do this record for me was just a blessing. And if an opportunity comes again in the near future for us to do more stuff, most definitely I am open to it, and I'm sure they'll feel the same. But it's too early to speak yet again. So I think there definitely is going to be room, though, for us to create something, and with more people, or if me working solely with Stana or me working solely with Blackie separately, you know, because this, again, imagine if we now chase and try to create another trio collab.
Yeah.
Do you understand the amount of pressure that we're going to be putting on ourselves? Because firstly, the consumer anywhere, like I'm not even going to say South Africa, though. The consumer alone, when they hear that KO and Stana and Blakey are on another song, they are obviously expecting fireworks, and they're expecting to be the song to be as big as Sete.
Or
and
even
if you
bigger.
Don't meet that, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't meet that, then it's say, okay, cool. So like they're four star. Like, why do you, you know what I mean? Like type of thing. So you don't want to ruin a beautiful situation. Maybe this was like one of those lightning in a bottle type of situations, and we just need to leave it alone and respect it. But definitely we are still going to work you know, together in the future, whether separately or not.
Oh man, that is such beautiful to hear. And once again, I just want to say thank you for making the time to join me this afternoon as we just catch up a little bit there.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.